Back now with Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. Those cherry red bicycles all over Denver are now in for the winter. B-Cycle, the bike share program, is taking a break after its first season. It will reopen in March with some improvements. Perry Burnap is the head of B-Cycle. And Perry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again, Ryan.
How would you say this first season went?
Stellar. And very difficult.
Let's talk about stellar first and difficult second. Why stellar?
Stellar because the community so broadly embraced us. We ended the season with almost 103,000 rides. We have over 1,700 annual members. 32,000 people walked up to our kiosk to take a bike for a trip. So the bikes were everywhere, and it created this sense of solidarity amongst riders and the bicycling community.
Well, let's talk about the number of rides, about 103,000, you say.
Yep.
What were your projections?
That's significantly lower. I think we thought we'd have a couple hundred thousand rides. We thought we'd have more annual members. We thought we'd have fewer walk-up users. And all of those numbers varied from what we projected when we had no idea what we were doing.
And yet you still call it stellar.
Yes, because we hit our budget numbers. We made a difference in the community. The bikes were used, the system.
Why were you projecting more rides?
We projected each bike would be used four times a day, and we got that figure from studies of what was happening in Europe, in Paris, in Lyon, in Barcelona, in much, much denser cities. They have a different land use pattern. You know, we're a car-centric land use pattern, and so our stations are a little farther apart. Plus, we didn't have enough capital financing to build out at 1,500 bikes and 150 stations right away.
How many bikes did you start out with?
500.
Do you plan to add more bikes and more stations?
Our goal is to get to 1,500 bikes and 150 stations. This coming year, we'll grow it by 5 or 10.
5 or 10 stations.
5 or 10 stations. Our longer-term plan is to seek federal funds or national foundation funds to double, triple the current size.
To the difficulties, what was the biggest one?
The biggest difficulty had to do with connectivity of the stations. It's very much like cell phones in the early years of cell phones where calls got dropped. Very often the signal between our station and the operating server would get dropped, and that would have repercussions throughout the system.
Because there was a nerve center connected to all of these bike stations around the city. I guess that helps you manage the flow of the bikes.
Exactly. And then every time a user couldn't get their bike out because the call or the connection had been dropped, we would get a phone call and need to figure out why they couldn't get the bike out. So it created some management challenges as well as some technical challenges to figure out why those things were happening.
Any surprises when it came to the people who used this bicycle system?
Yes, we had two surprises. We found that most of their users were using it to have fun, to socialize on weekends, go to dinner, use the bike path. We thought more people would be using it, and we wanted more people to commute. That change occurred over the summer, but it took a while to get people in the habit of using these bikes for transportation. The other big surprise was that we had so many people walk up to the kiosk and get a day pass, rather than pay for an annual membership. The day pass is $5. The annual membership is $65. And you can use it an infinite number of times.
More single-time users.
Yes. And some people...
That came back then?
Yes. A lot of people would do the single-time use 6-10 times. Maybe they didn't understand we had an annual pass, but I think it's more that people didn't want to commit to the system and they were impulsively using it.
Who were the users?
We had a lot of users live close to downtown, but not in downtown. Some of the hipper, high-density neighborhoods, Capitol Hill, Highlands, the ballpark neighborhood. We had a lot of people use it in conjunction with light rail from the suburbs. About 12% of our users, according to a survey we did, mixed it up with some bus or light rail experience. We had lots of users from out of town who loved it as a way of getting to know a new place.
Tourists.
Yeah, lots of tourists.
You really wanted the bikes to turn over a lot. And so there were no additional charges for users who had a bike under a half an hour. But fees started to kick in if you kept the bike longer than that, right?
Exactly.
Did people tend to keep the bikes longer than a half hour?
Many people did because they misunderstood our pricing structure, which we learned was quite confusing. We had it on the bike, we had it on the kiosk, we had it on our website, but people still felt like if they bought a 24-hour membership, they could keep the bike out for 24 hours.
Did you reverse some charges?
We did. We were very nice this year. Anybody who called and was confused, we just refunded the fee. Because this is hard. We're teaching people how to share to begin with. And that's a new paradigm for people. And then this pricing structure was confusing to them. And we wanted them to have a good experience.
Is that going to change next year?
We have a way of knowing if somebody's calling multiple times, and if someone calls three times saying they didn't understand the system, we probably won't refund them. But we'll continue to be very benevolent to new users.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and our guest is Perry Burnap. She's the head of the bicycle share program, B-Cycle, in Denver, those cherry red bicycles that are now in for the winter. You know, folks in Denver are a hardy bunch. Why suspend operations in the winter?
This was a difficult decision for us because we were trying to change people's habits and get them out of their car. And we knew that by yanking them, we were not sending a consistent message. However, we decided to pull them in for two categories of reasons. One were sort of winter and operational questions about damage to the bike, safety of the users.
Riding through snow.
Riding through snow, salt on the ground. We also felt that the usage would be very low and that it would not pay for itself. All those were major considerations, but the biggest one is that we have improvements to do to the system. We are looking at the touchscreen, which was deficient this past season, not very responsive, and we're also looking at the intelligence of the kiosk to correct some of those connectivity issues I talked about earlier.
Is there a chance in the future that this could go year-round?
Yes, there is a chance in the future. We're going to watch what happens this year. And a big question for us is building up a sufficient reserve to subsidize low use during the winter. So depending on how our financials go, this coming peak season will affect whether we can stay open over the winter.
Were there accidents?
There was one accident, no injury. The bicyclist came off of a sidewalk and the bike was hit and dragged, but the bicyclist was ejected without being injured.
Was the bicyclist wearing a helmet?
No.
They're not required.
They're not required. We have a wall full of helmets that we've offered to annual members if they'll come pick them up. And the helmets are a big challenge for us. We need to figure out how to get more people wearing helmets.
Would you have them at the stations, do you think, someday?
Oh, that's a big question of like, what would we store them in and what would the vending mechanism be? Vancouver is looking at bike sharing. They require helmets in British Columbia and we're watching what they do. If they come up with a nifty technology, we might adopt it.
Any bikes stolen?
One.
Just one?
Just one.
Surprised?
Very surprised. We had heard lots of stories about the European experience and bikes showing up on lampposts and in Morocco and you name it, they were going everywhere. But in our case, only one was stolen.
Did you find it?
We didn't find it. We suspect it went to Pennsylvania. So,
is this movement of bicycle sharing catching on in this country?
Absolutely. Since we opened, I've been contacted by no less than 20 different cities around the country, from Chattanooga to Santa Monica to San Francisco, Chicago, Boston. I could go on. We were followed shortly by Minneapolis, who has a program in the ground, and D.C. just a month or so ago expanded their system as well. So Denver, Minneapolis, and D.C. all have citywide bike sharing programs.
And we should keep in mind, there's no tax dollars associated with this from the city. It's grants and self-supporting.
Correct. But I have to qualify that by saying we did receive one grant from the economic stimulus funds. So we got $210,000 to put stations that are co-located with light rail and transit.
When you start back up in March, a man's face will appear on the baskets of the bikes.
That's correct.
What's this about?
I love this. The 100,000th user or rider this year was given the award of putting his face on one of our baskets. We, as a nonprofit, we don't have much to give, but we wanted to memorialize the generosity and the participation of our users.
Who is this person?
His name is Frank Wilmot.
And he thinks if this is an award, I'm not sure having my face plastered on bicycles is a trophy.
He was ready to let his face be used on a turkey for a Thanksgiving notice, but we didn't get around to sending it out. The guy's got a great attitude. Many of our users are extremely playful.
Well, thank you so much, Perry, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Perry Burnett leads the B-Cycle bike share program in Denver. It's taking a break for the winter. She did some calculating and found that in this first season, users burned more than 6 million calories, saved nearly 16,000 gallons of gasoline, and avoided $300,000 in parking fees.